Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this overcast day. I wonder why. Maybe because of what happened yesterday at Nissan Stadium that we will predominantly talk about today, and we're going to get right to it. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side, and Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Hey, guys.
What's new and exciting?
Well, I don't know if anything's new and exciting. We're excited for a Monday show. We got plenty to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We do. A tale of two halves and what I thought was for sure going to be overtime. But that didn't happen, as we know. Tough day where the first half looked like, holy cow, wow, you got to be kidding me. Pittsburgh is this much better. I mean, you should have seen, the Freezing Cold Takes Twitter account?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, did I get a lot of freezing cold texts yesterday from buddies of mine. Man, and I was just waiting to copy and paste back to them and say freezing cold take, but wasn't meant to be. Because they just could not believe at halftime, you know, gosh, Pittsburgh is the best team in the NFL, and wow, they're really setting their mark. Man, this team, blah, 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 going on and on and on. And next thing you know, the Titans are lining up to, you know, tie the game and push it into overtime, and who knows what would have happened there. Just like last night in Arizona-Seattle, that was a fun game. I know the World Series was on. I was certainly going back and forth. Of course, I did have some fantasy implications on the line. That probably helped me keep checking in with Arizona and Seattle. But overall, it was a really fun game, and we're going to talk about this today. You do wonder, Seattle's deficiency and Tennessee's deficiency, while both of them are very good football teams in the National Football League, is there one big glaring weakness going to cost them in January?
I think Seattle's
defense is no different than Tennessee's.
Oh yeah, I think there are this goes on. I think more seasons than we want to believe. The Super Bowl champion, if you look back year by year, they more often than not. I don't know about more often than not, but I think more often than you might realize, they have a weakness that has to be fixed by the time the season really reaches its peak late in the year. I can remember the first year that Peyton Manning won it for the Colts. They had a very poor defense. I mean, very poor, and it kicked in. They figured it out by the end of the year to go with the elite offense. I think there's been some great defenses. Let's take the other Super Bowl team that Peyton Manning played on, the Broncos a few years ago. Tremendous defense, very weak offense. Peyton Manning just wasn't the same. They had to just get enough to win. So it does happen, right, where you have one really strong suit and one weak suit. So the key is, can you fix it by the end of the year? If not, you're probably not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair statement. I mean, rarely do we look at teams. I mean, I think you could even go back to even last year. I think Kansas City's defense got better as the year went along, right?
It's another good example.
Just last year, it got better as the season went along. It was all about their offense. Everybody knew about their dynamic weapons, and everybody knew about what they could bring to the table. Everybody knew about their star quarterback, but everybody was questioning their defense, but you kept going, well, heck, if they're going to score 45 points a game, which in the NFL, that's about equivalent to at least 60 in college football, if not more. Actually, it's probably more than that. I mean, it's just putting up an absurd amount of points in college. Like, what did Clemson beat Georgia Tech this year? 72-3? It's like scoring 72 points in college football. That's what Kansas City was doing at an alarming rate week in and week out. And you're thinking, well, yeah, maybe it doesn't matter. But they knew it mattered, and their defense got better as the season went along. Now that's what the Titans are facing. That's what a team like Seattle is going to be facing. They have everything, both teams, on the offensive side of the ball. But right now they've got glaring holes and weaknesses on the defensive side, and it all starts with getting to the quarterback. And neither one of them have been able to get to the quarterback. The first sack last night in the Arizona-Seattle game was in overtime. That was the first sack of the game.
And the guy barely could believe he was back there.
I know, right?
He was like, oh, my gosh, nobody's blocking me. Hey, wait, right. I actually have my arms around Russell Wilson. That doesn't happen. Wait, I guess I'll just sack him.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting. I'm with you. I think the thing about Seattle and the Titans, the defense may not have to be great. It just needs to be average. Right? I think that's what we would take at this point. You just can't get lit up. You can't give the ball to their team for 13 minutes or 13-plus minutes in the first quarter. That's the kind of thing that you just have to improve on. And there's obvious areas where you look at it and you're like, you got to get more from what you're investing there. I'm still optimistic. I was really impressed that in comeback mode against the Steeler defense – that can really get after the quarterback, and with a depleted offensive line, that they held up as well as they did and got back in it. I was even more impressed with the offense, all things considered, to where you walk out of there going, geez, you just hit the 45-yard field goal, and who knows what could have happened in overtime. So, you know, in the big picture, 5-1 after six games with all they've been through, they should feel very fortunate, and it's just a matter of getting better. They're being held to a higher standard now, right? People would have loved to be 5-1 the last several years, you know, the four straight 9-7s. So they're ahead of the curve, but they have to stay focused on what needs to happen for them to really get where they want to go.
I think fortunate is a good word. You don't apologize for a 5-1 start. You don't say, oh, sorry, league. You know, we probably didn't deserve to win a couple of those games. No, you don't apologize for anything in the NFL. You get wins however you can get them. But fortunate is a good word. Lucky is a good word, because I don't know, quite honestly, how you escape that they wait. Sometimes, and I even said this about their kicking woes last year, like, I don't know how the deficiencies that they've had this season. They are atrocious on getting off the field on third down. They can't get off the field. Their defense cannot get off the field on third down. I mean, atrocious. Do you know how critical that is in the NFL? We're not talking about 3rd-and-1 plays. I mean, they can't get off the field if a team is facing 3rd-and-7 or 3rd-and-8. They're terrible. And their kicking woes, you know, it's either you miss 4 field goals in one game and you can still kick the game winner in the same game. How does that happen? Three field goals and an extra point should cost you a game on the road in the NFL every time, albeit with fans, without fans. That should cost you a game. It didn't. All the woes last year where they didn't even try. They just stopped using a kicker, and it didn't cost them. I don't understand how a team in the NFL, you're not supposed to get away with, you know, what they've gotten away with at this point and be 5-1 at this level. At this level, you should be 3-2, 2-3 with the things we're going to talk about today. It would be 4-2 or 3-3. They should be more like 3-3 at this point when you think about all the problems. Well, not all the problems. The big glaring weaknesses that they have, you would think, in this league, with the margin of error so slim, it would have cost them a couple more games. And we'd be talking about a 3-3 team that probably a lot of people, including us, would say they're kind of getting what they deserve. This is what they are right now until they improve. But like I said, you don't apologize for the 5-1 start.
And I think you could take that as saying they are better than they have been, because you're right. Had they lost that game to drop their record to, say, 3-3, I think we'd been saying, man, they're no better than they have been. It looks like another 9-7 trying to sneak in. Their weaknesses are too big to really win. But I think that the offense is that much better. I think the maturity of their coach, their winning edge, I think, you know, that intangible quality that not every team has, they have that. You know, they believe they're going to win. And I think that's why they are better than they have been before. And they are a reflection of their record. But, Mike, nobody knows this more than Mike Vrabel, because he's going to be preaching this all day. They've got to get better. They've got to figure out how to fix the defense and get more out of it. And you're right. I think it starts with rushing the passer, getting off the field on the third and longs. It's one thing, you know, to give up the third and threes, third and ones. And there was a lot of those, right? That's contributing to the big batting average that they're giving up. But it's where they're just not getting any heat, and teams aren't really worried when it's third and 10 or third and 11. Ben Roethlisberger was back in a rocking chair saying, oh, we need 11? That's okay. I'll just hang. Let the receivers run their routes. I'll find the matchup. It's just way too easy on those. That's where it's got to start.
How many sacks did the Steelers get on Sunday? That two and a half number was pretty good. Wish I would have taken the under.
Well, and that's another, I think, positive, right? I think people were looking and saying, hey, the offensive line was barely holding it together, and maybe that was the case, but you're facing arguably the best defensive front in football, or one of the five best at the very least. And even though they were behind and the Steelers knew they had to throw it, they still were able to stay with it and reasonably run their offense. I think that's encouraging going forward.
And the Titans had how many sacks?
None.
0.0. And that's the thing that's even more amazing, because when you see, like, for example, last night's Sunday night game, late in the game, Seattle kept, they were either having penalties or getting plays for a loss, whether it was a sack, not, well, actually it wasn't a sack, yeah, a sack, whatever. They were facing second or third and long. What was Arizona doing? Arizona was bringing the house. You'd think when the Titans get in these situations where they've got a team pinned back that they would bring the house. Why aren't they doing that?
They're just not getting
it. Why aren't they bringing the house?
Even when they bring the extra guys.
You know what they're going to do. They're going to pass. So bring it.
Well, I think this is what I'm seeing, and I'm sure we're going to get into this backwards and forwards today as we try to hash out what's going on. I'm seeing a defense that right now is their number one goal is to not give up big plays, right? And that's what's maybe a little bit discouraging about the run defense, is they're giving up an occasional chunk, which is what they were better at holding off last year. But by and large, if you think about it, Ben Roethlisberger just basically picked them apart yesterday, right? It wasn't any real big plays, and I think that's by design. By not bringing the house, you're lessening the chances you're going to give up the big 45 or 50-yard play. But what they're not getting is, you know, they actually got more tip balls. They got three interceptions, right? So in the second half, it played out more the way they wanted it to, where they got a couple of tips and they picked it off. In the first half, there were some deflections. There were some mistakes that the Steelers made. The ball was on the ground. The Titans just weren't opportunistic enough there to make it. But that's what I'm seeing in the philosophy, is until we get more weapons, until we get Jackson back, we're going to play back and make you drive 10 yards at a time. And the problem was the Steelers were just too good. They didn't make any mistakes, and they cashed in for big points in the first half.
We'll come back. We'll open things up for you guys. If you want to jump in there and talk about yesterday's game, it was still a really good game. You wouldn't have thought that at halftime. If you had looked at the stats, said, holy cow, the Steelers are dominating this game and on the scoreboard. But the second half, things turned around. As Willie just mentioned, Titans did have three picks in the game, and they got things rolling and ended up being a great game in the second half. I want to get your thoughts. 615-737-1025. What do you think moving forward? Six games in the books. First hiccup of the year. Now 5-1. 615-737-1025. We'll get your phone calls or texts. And that is, of course, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Minko, frustrating, I guess, the lack of ability to get to the quarterback, I'm sure, plays a huge role in those third downs, too. How difficult is that to kind of watch week after week?
Losing is difficult to watch. So, you know, when we win a football game, we'll coach them And when we lose, we got to fix things, and that's what happened today. We weren't very good in all three phases. I mean, special teams, too many mistakes, and too uncharacteristic of us, our team, in all three phases.
I'm not so sure they lost in all three phases of the game, but I'll just trust he is the head coach. His eyes are better than mine. I don't think the offense is to blame in any of this.
I think the offense was about as good as you could hope.
Against the number one defense?
Yeah.
I
think they came out looking pretty good. Now, special teams was a problem, right? Special teams hurt them. That punt return was a huge play at the end of the first half.
Yep.
A really big play.
You also had the botched snap to Brett Kern. You also had the missed field goal. I mean, special teams was not good. I mean, there's no way around it, right?
You had Khalif Raymond misplaying the return and putting them back behind the eight ball. So things like that in a really close game. Those are the things they've been doing well the last several weeks. So that hurt them. So they didn't turn the ball over. And so this is another thing that they're doing very well. And some would say that's hard to sustain. But their turnover ratio is excellent. It's still among the best in the league. They didn't turn it over yesterday. But those hidden... I don't know what to say hidden, but some of those mistakes on special teams, that's another area where that's been a strength, and it was a weakness yesterday, and yet they still had a field goal to tie it, a very makeable field goal to tie the game against a very good team, the only undefeated team left in the league.
Our phone line and text lines are open. They're driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you'd like to weigh in on what you thought of yesterday's game, what you think moving forward, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We talked about the offensive line. What would missing Taylor Lewan mean? What were your thoughts on the absence of their left tackle against a defense like Pittsburgh?
I thought all in all, not bad. I thought that they knew that they weren't going to have all day to throw. But in spite of being behind, this is where I really was worried. When it was 27-7, and they go, well, it was 24-7, they go three and out, and they give up a field goal, and boom, it's 27-7. I'm thinking, this is pin your ears back. This is going to get ugly. They have to throw. The Steelers know it, and they just can't run their offense. But what do? They get the quick play to A.J. Brown, and they start creeping their way back in it. I was very impressed with that. They didn't completely go away from Derrick Henry. He had a nice drive there at the end where he started doing his thing, and they get back in the game. I thought they protected Sambrylo okay. You knew they were going to give him some tight end help. They did. I thought it was all right under the circumstances, right? You're grading against the best. Now, the key is week in and week out, you know, how much are they going to have to help him, and how much can he start doing on his own? And, weeks from now, does Isaiah Wilson become a guy that gets into the picture and give them a little more talent in one of those areas? We'll see. But I thought, okay, not bad.
I think my biggest concern right now about Isaiah Wilson is he better be darn good. Because the wait better be worth it, because he's going to get no help from anybody. The fans are going to give him a break. The media is not going to give him a break. And it's pretty clear this coaching staff and his teammates aren't going to give him a break. He's got a big hill to climb. I mean big. Because his start to his NFL career has been about as much of a disaster as you can sign up for. I mean, I guess it could be worse. But, you know, a DWI and two COVID tests, just all the party and just everything that's happened, and this guy showing up late. I mean, it's just been a horrific start to a professional career. The wait better be worth it, because right now he's got a long ways to go to get everybody off his back, because right now it looks like a wasted pick right now. Now, he can fix that. He's got the ability to fix that. Clearly they see it in him. They drafted him in the first round. But you know what? Right now, he's still miles away from getting on the field, and this team needs him. Where is he? Isaiah Wilson, where are you? Where have you been all year long? And by the way, I don't see as we get oh so close to November. This time next week, we'll be in the month of November. Do you think he's going to see the field in November? I don't know, but I certainly don't feel good about it. Do you?
Well, if there's another guy injured, they might not have a choice. But right now, I think they're still in an advantageous position. Remember last year, they were really scrambling pretty well into the season. I don't know if it was well into November, but I forget, when did Nate Davis appear on the radar screen? It took a while for him to get in there, and he ended up by the end of the year being a solid addition. So right now the baseline isn't bad. I think you can make it work with the guys that they have. So if Isaiah Wilson isn't an upgrade from what you have isn't that bad. Last year, what you had was a disaster for several weeks before it all sort of came together when you got Lawan back, et cetera. So I think it's a little different situation. I think you can afford to be patient right now. Now, if somebody else gets hurt, then you almost have to force his way in there, and that could be ugly for a while. But I just hope he takes advantage of every day that he has to get up to speed, because, you know, his number, I think, has got a chance to get called at some point. But I don't know if I would say impressed, but I think they've done a pretty good job patching it up. And their offensive line play was not a total disaster against maybe the best defensive front in football.
Chase McCabe will join us in a little bit here on the show. He had to step away this morning, but he'll be back here soon enough. Right now, we do have some feedback on our text line right now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Elijah, what do we got on the text line?
All right, we got a couple texts here. First one's from Paul. I thought this one was pretty interesting. It's been said many times before, but it's so true. The Titans' third down defense is the football equivalent of watching the Preds' power play. It's like watching someone being shot from a long distance and being powerless to stop it. It's an overwhelming sense of dread every time the announcer roars, "It's third down." Call it an overreaction if you want, but they have been awful on third down defense thus far. Also, can Isaiah Wilson and Dory Jackson please come back to work now?
All right, so let's address that. I don't think he's off or overreacting at all. I think that's actually a pretty good comparison, right? At the lowest points of the Predators' power play, when it was a sense of dread.
It becomes mental, yeah.
Yes, we
Everybody's
talked about
thinking
it a
the same
lot
thing.
On this show, right? It was a sense of dread in the stands,
no
with
question.
The fans. It was a sense of dread in the body language of the players. And I'm not so sure it's much different. The comparisons are pretty good, in my opinion. I think that was pretty good.
I think it's a similar weight that everybody's feeling until they get it better. And so they're going to have to get some confidence. They're going to have to start getting some stops, or else it's going to be the same. It's just natural. It's human nature. So it's an interesting parallel. I agree with it. So how do you get it better? I don't think there's anything really wrong with the way they're going about it. Let's give some ground, knowing that we don't have right now. If they're not going to get more from Beasley and Clowney with pass rush or anybody, you know, somewhere in there, the front four has got to get more heat, or else they're going to be behind the eight ball no matter what they do. But giving ground and saying we're not going to give up the big play, and eventually maybe we'll get a tip and interception. I see that. That's not bad. You can give up yards, but that's where you got to take the opportunity when it is third and seven or third and ten, where you've got to make the play. That's your opportunity. You have to be opportunistic, and that's how you get off the field. And that's what was not happening yesterday in the first half. Now, in the second half was a little bit better. It was a little bit more what they hoped it would be, but you just can't have a half like that against a really good team and expect to win. And they came very close to getting that game to overtime despite that. So I think there's some positives there. It's not this huge mountain. I don't think it's as big a fix as it might seem, but I said that last week and it didn't get any better this week.
I'm not as down. I mean, I'm not in a great place, but I'm not as down. I know a lot of people are down on Jadeveon Clowney, because I don't know if they thought that he was going to come here and do something that he had not done before and just light the world on fire and become a four-sack-a-game machine. I don't know. I still think he commands a presence. I still think he commands attention. I still notice him. I still notice him when he's out there. Would I like to see more? Yeah, I would, of course. I mean, they need it. They need him to be better. They need him to be more impactful. I'm not as down on him as a lot of people. Like I said, maybe it's because I didn't expect him to come in here and light the world on fire and turn into a player that, let's just be honest, maybe he's just not. You can't take away he was the number one pick in the draft. That'll never go away. He'll always be the number one pick in the draft. You can't take away the hit in the bowl game against Michigan, right? You can't take away. We will see that play for the rest of our lives. Okay, you can't take away him knocking somebody's helmet off. But when it comes to the NFL, has he had plays? Sure. But, you know, acting like he is, you know, how could he? He should be a double-digit sack guy. Yeah, I agree. He's got all the ability in the world to be that. But he's not that guy. For whatever reason, he's just not that guy. He's not a guy that's going to have 14 sacks a season. He's just not. In fact, a guy that we just talked to not too long ago who's now curling and they're down. And, you know, he had an unbelievable career. That guy could get to the quarterback. Jadeveon Clowney, for whatever reason, cannot.
He's not Jared Allen. You're,
he's
you're
not
right.
Jared Allen.
But so, I think there's a there's an in-between, right?
Yes.
Your expectation is everybody might have had it, whatever it was in their mind. Like, in some people's mind, a first pick in the draft who makes that kind of money should get this many sacks or this many disruptions. I think my expectations were lower just because we've seen what he was over the first several years of his career. But I expected more than this. Right?
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying I'm
he's
not
got,
as
he's got
down
to give him more
on
than
him.
This.
Yes, he does. He's got more to give. But I am not, like, saying this is a disaster segue to Vic Beasley. Like, honestly, if we didn't cover the Titans and we didn't live here, I wouldn't know Vic Beasley played for this team.
True.
I wouldn't know he was on this roster. Like, you want to talk about zero impact, in my opinion, it's Vic Beasley. He has had virtually no impact whatsoever on this defense. If it wasn't for us living here and covering the team, I wouldn't have a clue Vic Beasley Jr. played for the Titans. Not a clue. Now, you want to talk about more to give? But once again, maybe this is just what he is. But if that's what he is, then that was a disaster signing in the offseason because they need more out of him. And maybe this is just what he brings to the table. Maybe this is why Atlanta finally just threw their hands up in the air and said, we got to move on. We've tried to fix him. We've tried to get more. We can't. And so we're moving on. We're just letting him go. But he has really been a zero through six games.
Well, there's no doubt about that. He's a zero. He has not been noticed. He did reach in and force a fumble yesterday. That was a nice play, but you just rarely notice him out there. And I think this is the next layer of it for me, is it would be one thing if those guys were getting bottled up some, but other guys were getting free to the quarterback and winning their – if it was making Landry better, if it was somebody else that was coming in there and getting some opportunistic pressures or sacks. It's not all in the sacks, but it's just inconsistent. There's just never – there's never the heat that you need. The quarterback isn't worried that he's going to be under heat. That was what you noticed about Roethlisberger. He knew he was going to have time to run the play. The timely blitz off the corner that Dean Pease was so good at, that's not really happening this year. That's what they've got to figure out, right? They've got to somewhere in here strike a little bit of doubt in the other team's quarterback. Otherwise, it's more of a 7-on-7 kind of thing, and they don't have Deion Sanders and great corners. It should get better when Jackson gets back there. You know, their linebacker play is good. Jayon Brown battled and got the big interception, you know, the big tip to set up the interception.
I thought he played well yesterday.
Yeah, those guys are going to hold their own, but they've got to get some pressure. They've got to figure out how to get some pressure.
The reality is, through six games, there's only one guy on that defense that stands out week after week after week. There's one guy. That's it.
Yeah, and
you know who it is?
It's Jeffrey Simmons, for sure.
It's Big Jeff, okay? It's Big Jeff. He's the only one that stands out every single week, and they've got to get somebody else to stand out week in and week out. They've got to. He's got to have help. He's got to have somebody else that stands out and makes a difference and on, you know, what's going on in the trenches and what's going on up front. He's got to have help.
And he is doing it, so that's got to be creating one-on-ones. I haven't looked closely. I'm not a defensive analyst, but are teams having a double team Clowney? Are they double teaming Beasley? Somewhere somebody's getting a one-on-one. You got to beat him, right? Somebody get in there. That's right. What's not happening, right?
Yep. Elijah, you got another text?
Sure do. This one is from an unidentified texter. If you text us, please go ahead and plug your name here on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Jimmy Texter.
Yep. This is
Timmy. John, or is it Timmy Texter?
Timmy Texter.
Or John Doe here says, as far as the fan base goes, I think you should probably replace the word expectation for hope. I think that would be a more accurate description of what the fan base is seeking out of JD. And then one fan, Caleb, texts in, says, Titans are fine, 13-3 final record.
Well, I don't know about 13-3, but when you start 5-0, that is the luxury you have, is you can play roughly 500. Okay, let's say they go 5-5 from here. That's 10-6. That's a pretty good shot of making the playoffs. You should be in the playoffs. That's just going 5-5 from here on out. If they go 6-4 from here on out, that's 11 wins, and you go from there. So that's, they have banked the wins. They don't have to give those back. They don't have to apologize for them. It's just a matter of being able to get better. Now, what have they done the last couple of years? I do think they've improved as the season has gone along. 2 years ago in Vrabel's first year, they were improving, and then the wheels fell off with injuries as much as anything else, right? They got to that last game against the Colts, and they just didn't have enough healthy bodies, really, to win that game. Last year, they peaked at the right time. They played really well. I think Derrick Henry gets better as the weather gets colder. We'll see if that's the case again. So there's a lot to like, but it's a concentrated area where they've got to make the improvement.
And then after watching what Cincinnati did to Cleveland's defense yesterday, it does make me a little bit nervous of Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense against the Titans
progress.
Defense.
And that was without Joe Mixon, too. They still put up a lot of production without one of their main offensive weapons.
Should have won the game.
Burrow is way ahead of schedule. He is playing very, very well.
By the way, news not good in Cleveland, or is it? Maybe they're a better team without him. Odell Beckham is out for the year with a torn ACL.
Man, wasn't that a classic example of an ACL tear where he looks like he jumps in there and it's just a little awkward? It's not like this dynamic hit where you're twisting around and you're wincing. And then, boom, that's it for him. It's unfortunate for him. But you hit on what a lot of people in Cleveland and around the league are wondering, because they were very productive after he went out.
Maybe his quarterback was hitting on that in his postgame press conference.
Yeah, I do think when you have a guy like that, there is a weight. There is a, man, we've got to get him the ball or else he's going to be really upset. You know, I think there is some of that going on, just trying to be honest, right? Do they have enough without him? I don't know. They did yesterday. But that was not a great defense, right? That's the problem the Bengals have, is stopping people.
Well, it's a problem a lot of teams have in the league, stopping people.
Well, and that maybe puts perspective on the Titans, right? There are a lot of there are a lot more teams struggling on defense than there are on offense. True?
No question. No question. Well, we know the numbers offensively are through the roof. You know, there's been a huge offensive output this season. So, yeah, there's our answer. All right, we'll come back. More on the other side. Want to continue to get your feedback. Phone line, text line, wide open, 615-737-1025. That is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More of Darren, Dottie, and Chase next.
It's a 45-yard attempt officially. For the tie, Gostkowski. No good. The Steelers are going to hold on against the Titans.
Now Nashville SC will take on Montreal Impact tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 5:45. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase.
Are you tying together the missed field goal and the soccer reference? Are you saying maybe some tryouts, the Nashville SC guys? You were playing pretty well.
Well, I wasn't
trying to make a connection
that,
there.
But that certainly is something I know when I was in high school, the football coach was asking me if I wanted to kick. And I did contemplate it. In fact, he gave me a bag of footballs to take home and practice. I did think about it. Ultimately, I decided to pass.
We've seen you kick.
Yeah.
You're saying it was a better situation in high school than what we saw on the Unibears field several years ago?
Well, the problem is I blew up.
We relived.
Blew up my knee in my senior year in high school, so it would have been a disaster anyway. It wouldn't have worked. Yeah, I mean, look, that goes on. You know that, but I don't know. I mean, let's just start there. I mean, what do you think? Are they just dug in? Like, there is no, this is Guskowski's job and that's that, and you just have to deal with it? Or, like, when does it become shaky on how long they can keep him on the roster before, you know, it's finally cost them a game, finally.
Yes. And we don't know what would have happened in the overtime, right? If he hits that and they go to overtime, we see what happens with the coin flip. A lot of things could have happened. But
doesn't it feel like they were content kicking the field goal to tie it up and go to overtime?
What do you mean content?
Did it look like they were, trying to do it? Did it look like to you they were trying to just kind of set up for a field goal and they were okay with what they were in range and that was that?
Well, they took the shot at the end zone on the play before, which I thought was a pretty good call. And if Tannehill could have put it a little more in the field of play, the ball kind of lands.
Who was it to?
To Corey Davis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep.
And the ball landed about, I don't know exactly, but it landed well into the white. On the white chalk, it really was not a catchable ball. I would have loved to have seen if he gave him a chance to go up and get it, what would have happened. I kind of like that call. And the intentional grounding, where they have the ball with 1 minute to go and a timeout, first and 10 from the 25, wow. I'm thinking touchdown, right? So I don't think they were content with kicking the field goal there.
No.
The intentional grounding killed him.
It did. That was a big
one.
By the way.
That forced them into, okay, we got to make sure we have a chance to kick a field goal here. And 45 yards, it's just, you got to make the 45. If that was 52 and he finally missed one from over 50.
Well, he's
money
saying, from 50 and
that's
beyond.
The thing. I mean, and sooner or later he's going to miss one from 50. And we can't just say, oh, now he's missing from 50. When you're 6 for 6 or whatever he is from that distance, you're due to miss one. It's just, When you're not quite sure what you're getting on the ones that you need to make, that's where you wonder. So here's where I am, Darren. You tell me where you are. I think he's fine this week. I think you keep moving forward with him. But if it happens again, I mean, he's lost his slack in the rope now. You can't put on him where they blocked one last week, right? That's not on him. That was just poor protection, but he's now missed two where you got to nail those. And nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect, but he's going to have to be better. You're in that gray area, right? Who else is out there? They're not sitting around Nashville or anywhere a phone call away and guaranteed to be better. So tell me where you are. I'm saying he's here this week. I give him the next shot. If it happens again, then I really got to think about it.
There's six games in. He's missed six field goals.
That's
so
a
obviously
lot.
That's a pretty easy average. That's averaging one a game. We know that's not how it's played out, but one a game in the NFL a week is too much, right? You can't have.
And that's field goals. That doesn't count the two extra points. Is that what you're saying? Or are you counting missed extra points in there?
Actually, you're right. I wasn't even counting the missed extra points. So he's missed two extra points as well. So that's technically that's eight, right?
That's big.
He's missed one from less than 30. He's missed one from less than 40.
That was blocked.
He's missed four, you know, in the inside between 40 and 49, and he's been perfect at 50. He's 5 for 5 and 50-plus, and then he's missed two extra points. So that is, yeah, that's right. So that's six field goals, two extra points.
And remember,
six
he's hit some huge ones, right? In weeks 2 and 3, were it not for him, they would have lost, right? So we have to say his highs have been very high, right? He's won them a couple games. So I'm trying to say the first week was the first week. Can't do anything about that. Since then, it's been better. But we've got a little regression here. It's regressed in the last 2 weeks. And that's even with not putting on him the blocked field goal. So are you holding tryouts? Are you to that point? Remember, we went through this after the first week where, you know, if there was ever a time to do it after just that nightmare, that might have been the time. They stuck it out, and it did get better. But now, you know, the graph is coming back down a little bit here.
I mean, six field goals and two extra points is just unacceptable in six games. It's way out of line, way out of whack for an NFL kicker, especially the pedigree of him. But this kind of goes back to how many times over the years have we talked about, you can't give Andy Dalton that kind of money. You can't give Joe Flacco that kind of money. Or you can't give fill-in-the-blank quarterback. Okay, fine. I understand that. But what do you do if you don't, right? Dallas, you don't want to give Dak Prescott that big contract. Well, how does the Cowboys look without Dak Prescott right now? They look like a team that may draft Trevor Lawrence if they're not careful.
Good grief.
I mean, they're just pathetic. So,
well, they even invested in the backup quarterback and lost him.
True.
So
right.
When that happens,
they're a hot mess, yeah. As we know. But, I mean, so what is the option? You know, what is your – like, it's unacceptable right now. What he has done to this point is just not good enough.
Yeah.
So it's simply not good enough. But what do you do? Who do you go out and bring in that's going to be any better?
That – I don't know who's out there right now. Even the guys that they have run through here in the last couple years have been picked up by
other
teams.
They're on rosters. Yeah, they're kicking week in and week out. Santos and Suckup, those guys are kicking for teams.
So in the musical chairs, there's usually one or two guys out there that have kicked in the league before that are sitting at home. Like, is Greg Joseph out there? He doesn't have a job, does he? He didn't get picked up by somebody. Or is he on somebody's practice squad? I haven't paid close enough attention because, in my mind, I thought this was a dead issue. I thought he had come out of it after the poor first week. And it is such a bizarre – how many times do you see 5 for 5 from 50-plus and 1 for 5 from 40 to 49? You just don't ever see that.
No.
If it were reversed, then I don't think we'd be really all that alarmed, right?
And two extra points and, you know, a miss inside just after 30, a miss – okay, so you're saying it was blocked. Okay, fine. But a miss, you know, less than 30. I mean, that's just – can't do that. I mean,
I think the inside 30 was blocked, but he just had a fade. He's got the fade going right when he kicks it. His ball fades to the right.
To right,
and that's where he's missing. That's the one he missed last week against the Texans, I believe. Right, it faded to the right, and the one yesterday faded to the right. If you notice, when they line up for the extra point, he's not lining up in the middle. He's lining up a little more the other way to compensate that his ball is fading. I don't know. I'm not a kicking expert, but that seems to be the flaw that's happening right now with him. But why doesn't it show up when he lines up for something 50-plus? Because
right.
He's booming those.
Right.
Those aren't
right.
Fading at all.
Mm-mm. I don't know. Let's go to Chad in Hendersonville, who's called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chad, what's up?
The irony of this conversation is we had the exact same conversation on September 15th, the Tuesday morning after the Monday night game. And you went around and you took callers. You had a slew of callers. Should we keep them or should we let them go? And here we are now back in this exact same situation. And the situation now you just talked about, was it Johansson? Joseph, he's actually the number two kicker on Tampa Bay. They got two kickers on their roster behind Suckup.
Well, so they've got two former Titans kickers on their roster?
Wow. That is a luxury that teams have with the expanded practice squad.
Exactly. You have to prepare for this. And, you know, in that situation, you have to wonder with that New England kind of coalition that is, you know, kind of this New England South situation we have down here, if Vrabel was worried about messing with that chemistry or hurting the feelings or potentially thinking that he was going to mess with the confidence of Gostkowski. But the problem is you have now is when we go back to September 15th, you did have options. There was a guy, Elliot Fry. There's a John Brown, Mike Nugent. These guys have all been signed now and have worked their way either on off the practice squad that they were signed to or onto the NFL rosters. So I feel like in that window, they needed back week one when the rosters were, you had more flexibility, there was more options. Now you kind of sit on it and you have no backup plan, and this usually happens. And the real question is, to me, forget about all the verbatim on the kicks. Do you trust them when the game is on the line? Isn't that really the bottom line? Do you trust them, or do you have that uncertainty? Because when you have that uncertainty on your kicker, when the game is on, you need 100%, not 99. You need 100% confidence this kicker is going to come in and kick it through the uprights. Now, do they always make it? No, but you know the kickers that you want out there on the line. And do we have that? And if we don't, you've got to act.
And they do have another kicker on the practice squad, the one that they had throughout the
rookie from Missouri.
Yeah. And, you know, is that an option? I don't know.
Well, there was no way.
I mean, they've
to
got
know,
him.
Right?
It seems to me like he's the emergency. If somebody came up with COVID or somehow he got hurt, then you would consider that. That's how I've had it in my mind. But I do wonder, as they evaluate that kid, they've got him there every day, right? They've been watching him for weeks. Do they have any inkling that he would be better? I don't know.
Let's answer what he just said.
Because so he asked the key question, right?
Cincinnati game this week, they are lining up. They are in field goal range for the game-winning field goal. How does everybody feel?
That's the question. That is
how is everybody going to feel 6 days from now if the Titans are in field goal range? And let's say it's not even – it doesn't even really matter about the yardage, because as we've just talked about, the less yards, the scarier it gets. So – let's say they're in field goal range to win the game against the Bengals. How is everybody in this market going to feel?
Well, you know how they're
going to feel. Good? Are you going to feel like, oh, my gosh, here we go? Is it going back to the power play reference? I mean, what is the feeling?
Well, he
cut
made
the kicker.
Feeling.
That's how I feel.
Oh,
hi, guys.
Oh, boy. Chase. Oh, here we go. But I think the feeling had gotten better, right? The feeling was much better the last few weeks. And then against the Texans, it was like, oh, whoa, oh. And then yesterday, he had not missed a kick lining up for that. He had hit a key 50, what was it, 51?
Yep.
And that was an important field goal, right? They kind of sputtered. They had the interception, and you're thinking, oh, they're not going to get anything out of this. And he bails them out and hits a nice field goal. So I don't think I had – I did have a – I did have a feeling. I have to admit, I did not feel totally confident when he lined up there.
I didn't feel confident.
Okay, well, so let's you want to
would you
gone
feel any
after
different
week
with Tucker
one.
McCain?
So how do you
in
feel
there?
Now? How do you feel about Gostkowski now 5 games later?
He's going to have to earn it.
He's inconsistent.
He's going to be shaky.
He's inconsistent. And you can apply that word to the defense, you can apply that word to the kicking game, and if you're inconsistent in important categories like that, that is going to come back to bite you when you play good teams. See yesterday. It's going to come back to bite you when you get into the playoffs. I believe this team's a playoff team. They're probably going to win this division. I'm not ready to write them off after one loss. But these are issues that keep popping up, and they are inconsistent. And I was just listening to you guys talk about Gostkowski, and yeah, 6 for 6, okay, you feel good. Everybody's like, all right, he's back. Whatever was plaguing him at the beginning, he's gotten that out of his system. He's good to go. And then you have last week, and then you have yesterday. And it's up and down, up and down. That is the definition of inconsistent, and that's going to come back to bite you. Now, they may be stuck with it. Yeah, I said cut him. I understand there's not many great options out there. You know, you got some on the practice squad. Tucker McCann, okay. I have no idea. I would say that he's probably not going to be the answer. So Steven Guskowski might be the better bet between those two. But Greg Joseph, to answer your question, Willie, he is on the practice squad with Tampa. So he could be available, but he got cut for a reason. So I don't know. They're in a very tough spot. But the inconsistency is going to come back to bite him. I mean, it already has. I think it's going to bite him again.
How many kickers in the league right now that have attempted double-digit field goals this year? Okay, you have to attempt 10 or more. How many would you guess, Willie, I'll start with you, are perfect on the season?
Perfect?
Yep. I've got it in front of me. Are perfect. Because we're talking about field goals. Inconsistent. Yeah, field goals, not PATs. PATs is different. I'll get to that in a minute.
How many are perfect to this point in the season?
And they have to have at least attempted double digits.
Right. And yep. we don't know if there are, 50 plus or whatever. I will say three are perfect.
Three are perfect. Chase.
Well, I know Seattle's kicker doesn't count because he's attempted like four.
But if he were four for four, he'd be perfect.
No, but that's why I said, yes, he's four for four, but he does not count.
Okay, so you got him.
Ten or more field goal attempts.
I'm going to say one, and I couldn't tell you who it would be, but I'll say one.
Okay, let's see if anybody is right. All right, I'm going down the list. We have one. Okay, the best kicker in the league with 15 attempts, 15 for 15. And you guys couldn't have – you wouldn't even get it right on a multiple-choice test.
I couldn't
pick
this guy out of
the lineup,
could
I? Yeah. Tell me the kicker for the Miami Dolphins.
Couldn't tell you.
And don't tell me
Uwe Von Schaman.
Lace is out, Dan, okay? Who?
Jan Stutterud. I don't know.
Uwe Von Schaman?
Garo Yeprimian.
Garo Yeprimian.
Exactly. No? And anybody out there listening, if you're not
Ray
cheating,
Finkel?
You don't know the name of this. That's what I said. I put it on a tee. I wanted one of you to hit it out.
George Blanda.
I said laces out, Dan. I mean, I wanted one of you to say Ray Finkel. Jason Sanders. Sure.
Okay.
No relation to Barry. Yeah, Jason Sanders is 15 for 15. Who else do we got? Oh, we've got another candidate. Will Lutz for the Saints, 11 for 11.
Okay.
Okay?
He's pretty solid.
So there's two.
He's kicking in a dome.
You want to hear more?
Yeah.
There are no more.
That's
okay,
that's what I was about to say.
So two. So Chase said one, I said three, so between us we were right around it.
Right in the middle.
And no, I don't think you have to say he has to be perfect, but you have to do better than 10 for 16 at the end of the day.
The point is inconsistencies. Everybody in the league is inconsistent. I can go. We thought Justin Tucker, he's missed a field goal. He's missed one, but still, I mean, he's missed one. And it was from 50. Okay, so it was 50 plus. So that's his one miss this year. Justin Tucker, by and large, everybody views as the best kicker in the league, but he has missed. He's 20 for 20 on PATs. A lot better numbers on PATs than Kaskowski missing two, because there's a lot that have been perfect on the year. 20 for 20, 15 for 15, 16 for 16, 17 for 17. Ryan Succop is 25 of 26 in Tampa. Think about that. He's attempted 26 extra points. The Bucs are scoring a lot of points these days. I don't know if anybody's noticed. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk with TD. Teron Davenport in the on-deck circle to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.